Blog Talk Radio.
You already know.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev,
Girl,
Kim,
Holla,
PJ,
huh?
Be Austin a hot
play in RL2.
How you wanna
end up
1 or 2 hours show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Vote with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
All right. Guten Tag, good sports fans, and welcome once again to another episode of The Reason Thursday is now a better day of the week than Friday. The championship.
I heard that.
You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the War Room Roundtable tonight are 3 members of the conglomerate. I got Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, the hot block commander. Homie PJ is still on hiatus, but as usual, we're going to hold it down for the brothers who aren't here. We want to start off by congratulating the Dallas Mavericks for earning their first NBA championship. According to D-Wade, for joy to all of America. We'd also like to say, Herzlichen Glückwunsch, to their all of a sudden fearless leader and NBA Finals MVP, Dirk Nowitzki. Congratulations as well to the Stanley Cup champion, Boston Bruins, and to the series and playoff MVP, Tim Thomas. Tonight we're going to salute the newest champions in the world of sports and discuss the other hot topics of the week. But we'll mostly be recapping the NBA Finals and its surrounding storylines, such as the emergence of Dirk, the disappearance of LeBron, Mark Cuban's dislike of tradition, Deshaun's shirt, and sudden quietness and newfound humility of Heat Wagoneers. So as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight, so call in and holler at us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Got a quick reminder, if you own an Android phone or tablet, an iPhone, iPod, or iPad, don't forget to download our free War Room Sports mobile app in the Apple App Store or the Android market. All right, so now that I've taken up enough of your time, we're going to get into them birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
What up, fellas? Y'all ready to do this tonight?
Let's go.
Of course.
Let's get money. All right, the first birthday tonight is one Mr. Philip Alfred Mickelson. Phil Mickelson turns 41 today. Kill Phil Mickelson. What do you think of when you hear that name?
When I think of Phil Mickelson, I think of Tiger Woods, because personally I probably would not know as much as I know about Phil Mickelson had it not been for the emergence of Tiger Woods. And also I think Phil Mickelson needs to thank Tiger Woods for making golf as popular as it is, because Phil Mickelson would not be making the money that he makes now if not for the emergence of Tiger Woods. So that's what I think
of when
I think of Phil Mickelson.
You know what? Actually, he does every time he gets a chance. He even thanks Tiger Woods for his own games in the majors that he's won. He's always on record saying, you know, when Tiger's not in the tournament, I don't have that person to push me to play better, this and that. And when he's there, I play better. I mean, it sounded kind of soft, but he always thanks Tiger. And speaking of Phil, he's playing right now at Congressional over in Bethesda in the U.S. Open, and he is stinking up the joint on the first day.
So, you need Tiger out there.
Your birthday. Get your stuff together. Yeah, Tiger's not there. Jimmy, Phil Mickelson.
Yo, when I think of Phil Mickelson, I just like Bayon, think about Tiger Woods and how I wouldn't know who Phil Mickelson was if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. But because of Tiger Woods, I know that Phil Mickelson is a left-handed golfer who was always in the Forbes, like, top 10 list of richest athletes. Yo, Phil be getting money for years now.
Yeah, often.
When I think of Phil Mickelson, I think there is no one that has held on to Tiger's Richard harder, longer, and with more lips and spit than Phil Mickelson. Even Tiger's harem. Because dude has Tiger in his mouth at every time they put a mic in front of him.
Yo, you're a nasty dude, cuz. We're going to move on to the next one. Mr. Timothy Leroy Lincecum.
My birthday! Yay!
Tim Lincecum turns 27 today. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Tim Lincecum?
Yeah, when I think of Tim Lincecum, I think of that tough loss to the Phillies last year and how Tim Lincecum looks like a lesbian woman.
Austin, Tim Lincecum.
Yo, fee, fi, fo, fum. Why does he look so dumb?
Yo, he's a beast, though. Tim Lincecum.
But he's a beast on that mound. He is that. He is that.
You look like a surfer dude or, like Jimmy said, a surfer chick. But that dude or that chick can pitch. Bayon.
Yo, when I think of Tim Lincecum, I think of him obviously winning the World Series. And every time I see him, I think about Jimmy's comment of how Jimmy thinks, what Jimmy thinks Tim Lincecum looks like. And it's, every time I look at my bag, it's pretty accurate.
I know. Now it's like stuck in your head. Like every time you see the dude, because Jimmy stays talking about how he looks like a woman. All right, so that's Mr. Timmy. We're going to
don't look
next
like no woman I want to see.
We got another pitcher, Mr. Andrew Eugene, better known as Andy Pettit.
My birthday, right. Yay!
Andy Pettit turns 39 today. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Andy Pettit?
He's a Yankee, or a Yank me, rather, so Marshall Falken.
All right, Bayon, Andy Pettit.
I think about him misremembering, or as Roger Clemens said in the steroids thing. And I thought that Andy Pettit was older than he actually is. I thought he was older than that. So he might have a few more years. Well, I know he retired, but it seemed like, you know, with people pitching well into their 40s, you know, he could pitch for like four more years.
Well, I mean, he is off the juice now, so, you know, his arm probably got tired. I mean, he's one of the – when I think of Andy Pettit, I always think of forgiveness because it's like – it doesn't seem like anybody faults him or, you know, he's no longer a target because he, quote-unquote, admitted his steroid use. But, you know, once they already know, when you're advised by your handlers, like, you might as well just go ahead and admit that. Does that change the fact, Jimmy, that he actually did it? Like, why has he been forgiven?
Yo, I think he's forgiven because he came out and admitted it, you know, and Roger still is, like, in denial. But the thing about it is, what's sad about this is when I think of Andy Pettit, I think of the roids, but I also think of how once your name is linked to that, whether you're guilty or not, that's like, it's like it. Perception becomes reality. Once your name is, like, linked, it don't matter whether you're guilty or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. He damn sure should have admitted it.
except for Brian Cushing. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about the dudes in football and steroids anyway. I think people want to see that.
Exactly.
But anyway, we're going to go on to our last birthday of the day, and that's one Mr. Johnny B, better known as Dusty Baker.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Dusty Baker, famed manager, turned 62 today. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Dusty Baker?
I think of a baseball lifer, and I say that because he was a player, a broadcaster, he's managed several teams, has success, and he's just one of those baseball lifers where you know that no matter what's going on, he's going to be involved in the game somehow.
Yeah, and Dusty looks like one of those managers that, you know, you just don't want to play with. Like, he always looked like a cool dude to me, sitting back with his toothpick in his mouth, but you look like, you know, you don't really want to give Dusty no guff. Whatever the hell guff.
Yeah, he don't take notes. He looked like a young Dr. Cooper.
He sure do. Kill Dusty Baker.
Man, I just think of him just being around baseball for as long as I can remember. Obviously, as a coach, and him, you know, going from team to team and putting out some quality teams through the years. That's all I got.
Austin.
I think that like Dusty's gonna die one day at the ballpark because he don't know what to do without baseball.
Yeah, he don't, like Jimmy said, he's a lifer, and he might be there to the end of his life. So that's your birthdays for today. Birthdays, of course, are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon down in Fort Washington, Maryland. Go get your wig tossed up. Jimmy, let them know.
Yes, sir. It's time to talk about what happened while you were on the grind, which is brought to you, of course, by Philadelphia Auto Design. You need to get your wheel done right. first thing I want to talk about is this. The NBA Finals are over, as we know. But y'all, man, Eric Dampier was partying with the Mavericks on South Beach. What's your guys, you know, what do you got to say about this? I mean, this is a disgrace. But we are
When I first heard about that, I was a little distraught. Like, yo, come on, man. How you going to party with the enemy? You know, I was reminded that he played with Dallas. But even that didn't make me, you know, change my mind. You don't play with them anymore. But then I figured, like, well, the boy Eric Spoelstra didn't give me a minute the whole damn playoffs. So I ain't got no loyalty. Let's party. I ain't knocking him. He ain't getting no minutes. He's not really a part of the Heat. Go ahead, Eric. That's the only time you're going to party a championship anyway.
Austin, what you got to say about this?
Yo, why is Eric Dampier in the National Basketball Association? What does he contribute to the sport and the game of basketball? That's the first thought that I had. The second thought is, you know, I'm going to go hard line, pause, and kind of agree with you, Dev. And I'm not having to change your heart. You know, you don't party with the enemy. I don't care how long he was on the Dallas Mavericks. You know, you don't do that. That was Raymond-ish.
Hey, but you said about his contribution, I actually think he could have helped them a little bit had he got a few minutes a game.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah. I think so. Look at, you know, they had him or Jamal McGlure. He's better than Jamal McGlure.
You
yo,
said you don't know why
Doc Bay,
leave.
Doc
yo,
Bay.
Yo, what's up?
What you got to say about
yo, do you think, like, first of all, I think Cuban is going to send Eric Dampier a ring the same way the Colts owner did with, what's his name, the running back, Edgerrin James. And, like Dev was saying,
why?
He probably was like, yo, I didn't get 1 minute. I didn't get 1 minute. And I played with the Mavs for, like, what, 7 years or whatever he did. And, you know, so I'm not saying I would have done that, but I could totally understand where he was coming from. You know what I mean?
Hey, Kill.
Yo.
I'm not, like, Dampier. Like, I don't know why Cuban would give him a ring, though. It's not like he was Patrick Ewing with the Knicks or something. And he's not
yeah, true,
one.
True. But I could see. I'm saying that Cuban is that generous, though. Cuban is that generous, though. Well, he'd be like,
you're
yo,
right.
Hey, Damp, man, you know, you meant a lot to us and our development and da-da-da-da. Here's
but
your
he
ring,
but yo, I killed, but he didn't, though. But he didn't mean that.
That's what I'm about to say,
that.
Not really. But.
Yo, but here's my thing, though. Yo, when I think it's a disgrace, and I also think it's very repugnant. Listen, if Pat Riley would have coached, this wouldn't happen. When Riley used to coach the Knicks and they would play the Bulls or whatever, he would straight fine his players if they was hanging out with, like, certain, you know, athletes of the other
yeah.
team. Like, you know, he was straight fine as players. I mean, I think it's interesting. First of all, how are you going to party in their city after you beat them in the finals? I wish somebody would come to Philly and try to party at a club in Philly after beating the Sixers in the finals. Somebody would get hurt. It'd be like Vancouver.
No, we probably just go down there and throw snowballs at them. That's all. We boom them and throw snowballs.
Yo, the U.S. Open teed off this morning in Congressional in the D.C. area. Honestly, the only thing I know about the U.S. Open is Advantage Jigga. Anyway, Dev, what you got to say about the U.S. Open?
Yeah, like I said, this could just be a mention thing, but I just wanted to talk real quick about the traffic down in the D.C. area because, you know, I'm down here all day, and the traffic for the U.S. Open was stupid, man. And I'm like, how many people can you fit on a golf course? It's not like a stadium. Like, so why is it they had shuttle bus routes. Like, you could go park somewhere for free and catch a shuttle. And they were, like, making updates on the radio, like, every 30 minutes about the parking situation and the traffic situation. This is a big deal, man. I'm like, damn, is this the U.S. Open or the Super Bowl? It's crazy.
Yeah, thank God. Doc Bay, you got anything to say about it?
Nah, man, just – I mean, it's just another step in golf that's getting more boring as Tiger keeps nursing his injuries, you know.
How about you?
Yo, yeah, I'm gonna give a shout out to the U.S. Open. As of right now, Rory McIlroy is number one. Y.E. Yang is in second place. He's 3 under. Rory's 6 under, and he's tied. Charles Schwartzel is 3 under. Lewis Austin Husen is 2 under.
Let me stop you right now.
I'm done. Yo,
let me stop you right now because
shout out to the folks that
cares.
Love golf. And this is round
anyway,
one.
Yeah. With that being said, yo, here's a story I know you guys want to talk about. Y'all man, Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal was questioned in connection with of the 2008 beating of an LA man. Now the story is this man had a tape of Shaq, you know, having sexual relations with a woman who wasn't his wife. You know, he was smanging her. oh, you know, Shaq wanted to get that tape back, so Shaq had some Crips, like, you know, do they thing, and, you know, that's the story. Who knows how true it is? Austin, what are your thoughts?
Yo, shout out to Shaq for trying to live up to Wilt Chamberlain's numbers, but he just wasn't the man that Wilt was, man. And he got in more situations. Wilt got it a lot smoother. There wasn't no problems with Wilt.
I don't think Wilt was
Shaq...
married. Was Wilt married? I don't think Wilt was married. So.
I don't think Shaq knew he was married.
But this reminds me of, I don't know if y'all remember, there was a situation about 4 years ago where there was some, a lady came out and said Shaq was stalking her and he used to mess with her. And then he sent her emails like, yo, you know, I'll get you erased and don't mess with me and this stuff like that. And she put like a restraining order out on Shaq. So that's what I thought about when I thought about this.
Shaq be tripping.
This one's crazy, though, because like Jimmy said, allegedly Shaq got the, the Main Street Crips to handle business for him. They actually kidnapped dude at gunpoint, took him to the leader's house, and, you know, beat him up and demanded the tape. I'm like, first of all, how did they know this guy had the tape? I'm figuring Kobe probably told him or something. But,
Vanessa definitely told.
Like, you know, as a family of snitches over there, so somebody dying, Tony. But I don't know. You know, Shaq, he trying to get up in the law enforcement. I mean, LAPD will probably be lenient on him because they probably look at him as one of their own. So he should get off on
Shaq
it.
Is always smanging somebody's chick and causing controversy, man.
No, he always got tapes or emails or something. He's crazy.
Yo, I'm gonna go with my my Fredro Starr Tales of the Industry. Shaq has definitely always made it a point to look at the opposite team's cheerleaders and try and pick out which ones he wanted. And I remember when he was coming to D.C., it was a certain dancer that actually several that he had a fancy for, and he used to try and send Brendan Haywood to do his bidding. Yo, shout out to Brendan for being a gopher for Shaq.
Yo, anyway, man. Real quick, another story I want to talk about is your man Lance Armstrong. Supposedly he confronted Tyler Hamilton in the Aspen, Colorado restaurant about, you know, him talking smack about Lance and his use of certain performance enhancement drugs. Anybody hear about two bikers, like, you know, getting ready to rumble?
Yeah, I heard about it, and somebody had said that before, like, man, these are two bicyclists trying to rumble, but I had to remind them, these are two bikers on steroids about the rumble. It might be more of an interesting fight than you think.
It's more than the spandex, and remember, now in this day and age, the quote-unquote tough dudes do wear tight clothes.
Yeah, according to... a waitress. She's either a waitress or a hostess, but she's also a friend of Lance, so this could be a one-sided story. She said that it wasn't as confrontational as Hamilton tried to make it, because he actually went to the feds with it afterwards. She said Hamilton walked by, and Lance calmly, you know, said something to him, like, you know, what's the deal? What's the big deal with telling this to that? And, you know, the guy said to the feds, like, Lance was all up in his face cursing, like, you know, my lawyers will bleep, 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 and make your life a living bleep in hell. And so, I mean, I don't know who to believe. I just wish they would have just gone at it in the restaurant. Let's do it.
Yo, we're talking about bicyclists right now, so I wanted to ask you guys one more question before we move on, yo. This is a serious topic. Michael Strahan came out in support of gay marriage in New York due to some legislation they're trying to get passed now. And your man, David Tyree, of the Super Bowl catch, which is probably the only reason why this even made the news, he actually did an interview, and he says that he disagrees with Strahan and that gay marriage will lead to anarchy. And, so a lot of people are up in arms, and they're calling for David Tyree to lose his job. I didn't know he still had a job. David Tyree
doesn't
is
have a job.
Special teams
he
player.
He doesn't have a job.
Yo,
what are they talking about?
He retired.
And that's what I said. I said, why are people calling for his job? He doesn't have one. But anyway, people are up in arms about his comment. And my thing is, if not for that Super Bowl catch, he probably wouldn't even got a microphone in front of his face. So do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I mean, the comment, he even prefaced it. He was like, before he said the word anarchy, he's like, this is going to sound strong, but anarchy. But, I mean, from all accounts, from what I read and heard on the radio today, he's a devout Christian. So those are his beliefs. So, I mean, I don't know about his choice of words. I don't know about his choice of words, but, you know, I don't mind him being against the cause. But he probably could have found a better way.
Shout out to those who thought it was important to interview David Tyree for anything. At any rate, that's what happened today while y'all were on the grind. Dev, take it over.
Yo, I'm just wondering how dudes can still afford to live in New York. All right, it's about that time where we're going to pass that rock. If it's your first time listening, Pass the Rock is a segment we do every week. We're all five of your hosts. It's four of us tonight. We get to vent on any sports topic that we feel the need to vent on for that week in sports. So tonight, we got a special guest. He goes by the name of Mr. James Raymond. And he's going to give you a little...
Why you mad, son? Why you mad, son?
Public service announcement.
Yo, all the people, especially those other sports networks and sports shows that were rooting on the War Room to fail, at the end of the day, they have to wake up tomorrow and have the same show that they had before they woke up today. They have the same personal problems and creative problems they had yesterday. The War Room Generals, we're going to continue to live and broadcast the way we want to live and broadcast and continue to do the things that we want to do with our family and be happy with that. These other sports networks and sports shows can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only the War Room, but the War Room sports movement not accomplishing certain goals of world domination and world sports domination and all that. But they have to get back to the real world at some point. War Room sports, you female dogs and Richard Riders, you Senator Wieners, we run this. I'm done.
Pass that to me. All right, nice little public service announcement. So, you know, I received the ball on the wing, and I'm going to keep bringing that up for my homies. This is Devin, everybody. And I just want to tell you guys that Vancouver fans are officially stupid. If you haven't heard, an angry mob of idiots took the streets last night rioting and looting because the Vancouver Canucks fell short in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The hell is a Canuck? Cars were burned and flipped over, stores were ransacked and looted, and roughly 150 people were treated at local hospitals for injuries, three of them victims of stabbings, and one person in critical condition with a head injury. What the Marshall Falk is going on with these people? I, of all people, know what it is to be deeply emotionally invested in a sports team or teams, but what kind of mental frustration and deep-down inner lunacy must one, let alone thousands, possess in order to become sore losers on this level? I've never understood why fans felt the urge to destroy their own cities after championship games, win or lose. It just doesn't make sense God gave us. As I watched in horror videos of burning cars, shattered glass, and citizens throwing rocks at the riot squad, I couldn't help but sit back and wonder how long this quote-unquote black eye would loom over the faces of the people of Vancouver. I also wondered if people will still be indicting the city for these acts 43 years from now. Y'all know where I'm going with this. For almost 43 years, we've had to endure the legend being told, grown and exaggerated, of how Philly fans booed and pelted Santa Claus with snowballs. We're constantly voted worst fans in America by over-exuberant, non-self-thinking followers, with that story being the first one recited by these unknowledgeable media-following lemmings who will believe and even continually perpetuate myths that they have no real knowledge about. The funny thing is, the guy in a Santa suit on that cold 1968 day laughs about the incident and claims he's always thought it was funny. But will the 150 injured people and three stabbing victims in Vancouver ever think that this is funny? Will the store owners with shattered windows, ransacked floors, and stolen goods ever get a good chuckle out of this? Will the people with char-grilled, flipped-over automobiles slap their knees in laughter as they assess the damage to their belongings? I think you all know the answer to those questions, but I bet you that in the years to come, we'll still hear about Santa Claus more than we'll hear about the jackasses in Vancouver or in any other city who has and who will commit these kind of unnecessary crimes. I'm done with that. I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Akil Bayon, cutting towards the basket.
Yo, that's crazy. And for War Room people out there, a Canuck is actually a slang term for Canadian, coming from the word canoe, which is a French word. But it's funny because they have the Montreal Canadiens, and I guess they figured that was taken, so they said, hey, we'll be the Vancouver Canucks.
Damn!
All right. Good evening, War Room World. I just wanted to take the time to talk about a sport that has not been given the proper credit it deserves. I want to talk about the WNBA, which kicks off their first game of the season tonight with the Connecticut Sun playing versus the Washington Mystics in Washington, D.C., at the Verizon Center, used to be known as the MCI Center. Now, as the WNBA has flown under the radar, they will be starting their 15th season this year. Former Olympic champion, who had her medals taken away due to steroid use, Marion Jones, will be playing in her second season with the Tulsa Shock. And those of us who grew up watching the Arkansas Razorbacks in the days of Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, Oliver Miller, and then Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman, Clint McDaniel, Corey Beck, Alex Diller, and Dwight Stewart, remember the big dude, number 15, who used to make threes? Their former coach, Nolan Richardson, is the coach of the Tulsa Shock. And he recently cut WNBA veterans Betty Lennox and Rashonda McCants, whose brother Rashard McCants was also cut a couple years ago by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he used to play in the NBA. So WNBA general managers, in a recent poll, picked the Seattle Storm to repeat as champions, led by Lauren Jackson and Sue Bird. As a consolation, the New York Liberty were the second team expected to win the championship in the GM poll. Diana Taurasi of the Phoenix Mercury and Cappy Pondexter of the New York Liberty were picked as the most clutch players in the league by the general managers. As a question, I wonder if LeBron was in that poll, if they would have picked Cappy and Diana or LeBron. Just asking the question. Now, the Minnesota Lynx first pick of the WNBA draft, Maya Moore, who dominated at the collegiate level with the UConn Huskies, is expected to win the Rookie of the Year award in a blowout. Maya Moore was also voted as the player's GM will want to start their team with, ahead of L.A. Sparks' Candace Parker and the Phoenix Mercury's Diana Taurasi. GMs also predicted that Maya Moore will be the best player in the WNBA 5 years from now. Seattle's Sue Bird was voted as the best point guard. Taurasi was voted as the best shooting guard. Indiana's Tamika Catching was voted as the best small forward. And Seattle's Lauren Jackson was voted as the best power forward and center. Yo, how did she just jack two positions like that? That's messed up. Now, Brian Agler was voted as the best coach. Tamika Catching's the best defensive player and the player with the greatest hunger to win a championship. I wonder if LeBron would have been voted in that, the greatest hunger to win the championship. And Cappy Pondexter and Angel McCautry were voted as the most athletic. Sue Bird was voted the best at making her teammates better, and the Seattle Storm were voted as the team having the best home court advantage. So shout out to the WNBA. I know you don't get a lot of love, so I figured I would give y'all some love in this segment. And with that, I'm done. And Jimmy, a.k.a. the Blueprint Williams, he has next.
Yo, give a couple of some love. Oh, my bad.
Yo, and shout out to you, Kill, for, bigging up the WNBA, because I didn't know they started until you said something. So you're doing a better job of their marketing team. Anyway.
So, shout out to you for caring.
What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. at JW the Blueprint, a.k.a. War Room Jimmy. And this week, I want to say a few words about the 2011 NBA Finals. Now, it's a lot of brothers flaking and perpetrating the scared-to-kick reality. I've been doing all this dope blogging and podcasting that I haven't had a chance to show people what time it is. But right now, it's time for me to express myself. First off, congratulations to the Mavs for becoming champions. Everyone's talking about what Miami did wrong, but let's give Dallas credit for what they did right. They beat the snot out of the Blazers. They took the heart out of my Lakers, they chumped the Thunder, and they stretched the boots of the Miami Heat. Now, second, I want to say a few words about LeBron. You sold the farm, Ott. It's not that you lost, but it's the effort you displayed. No one believes you gave your full effort. Then you make those stupid statements after the game. I blame your parents because that was some repugnant nonsense regardless of how you meant it. At the same time, it's not as bad as your haters believe either. And I do hate the term haters, but you really do have haters. After the loss, I saw more disrespect for an athlete than I have ever seen in my entire life. People really do hate LeBron. I saw people wish you harm, disrespect your family, curse your kids. At the end of the day, your team is young and you will be back, but the thing is you just have to show more effort. The haters will be mad again when you win, and I believe you will win, but as of now, you went out like a chump. And while I'm talking about your haters, I must say the only thing worse than your haters is what we in a war room call L2s, a.k.a. LeBron lovers. These are your fans who make excuses for you no matter what. They're the ones who blame D-Wade. They blame the whole debacle on Coach Spo. They blame your baby mom. They blame God. They blame global warming. They blame Roe versus Wade, Brown versus the Board of Education, and they blame the don't ask, don't tell policy as the reason why you didn't win. These people have no sense of reality and need to be neutered to avoid any more of these people walking the earth. And third and last point about the finals I want to make is in regards to Dirk Nowitzki, a.k.a. GJ, a.k.a. German Jordan, as my homie Ezra likes to call him. In the past, I was very critical of Dirk. Let's be honest. I questioned his heart and thought at times he played like a female doll. But this year, he torched Aldridge, he outplayed Kobe, outdueled Durant, and showed more heart and determination than LeBron. And because of it, he is now an NBA champion. With that being said, let's be honest. You deserved all the criticism you received in the past. People act as if you didn't sell the farm and play like you were scared in the past. You played like LeBron before LeBron. Now they are saying stupid nonsense like, Dirk proved you all wrong. No, he didn't. He played like a mutt before, but he worked on and improved his game to the point where he led his team to a championship. So congrats to Dirk for dealing with adversity and becoming a better player because of it. But let's not act like he didn't deserve all the criticism he once received. Dirk's story just shows us that there is still a chance LeBron can redeem himself. This has been a great playoffs and a great NBA Finals. I enjoyed every minute of the playoffs, with the exception of Scottie Pippen's egregious comments. I know I already addressed you, Scottie, but your comments were so stupid, I just want to say something one more time. Scottie, you're jealous. You said LeBron, a.k.a. Pippen 2.0, was possibly the greatest player ever, and just like you, he came up short in the clutch. But unlike you, he didn't pout on the bench when the play wasn't called for him and refused to come in the game. Scotty, before you make another stupid comment, do me a favor. Make like your favorite player's hairline and fall back. I'm nice. And with that, I dunk the rock.
And the crowd goes wow. All righty.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo, Dev, go ahead and let them people know how they can get at us.
All right, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com, sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter right from our homepage, click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. We have them. You need to get them. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Join our Facebook page where we talk sports all day, every day at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com for access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime. Download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, all you got to do is sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. Take you about 3 minutes. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. We know you got those, and while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime on your iPhone, iPod, iPad, anything you got with an I in front of it. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Like we always tell you, pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And if we spot you in the back of the class, we might just call on you. Fellas, anything going on in the chat room, Facebook, and or Twitter at the moment?
Yo, in the chat room, they you know, talking about LeBron, and Monty215 said he blames his hairline for the whole debacle.
Damn! Okay, yeah, and I see Donnie V.
Is it his hairline or is it his barber?
I don't know. It might be a natural thing because, you know, LeBron has always been a little older than what they said he was. He's a grown
Dominican.
Man.
You trying to say he's like a Cuban Little League baseball player?
Yeah, he's a...
Yo, but his barber should have told him. His barber should have told him Mike Jordan had a ball.
Yeah, whatever. His barber did a better job. He rich. Anyway, that's enough about LeBron's barber because everybody gonna think we're talking about LeBron and the hate mail gonna come. Let's play a quick round, fellas. Of verses. We never really bring this segment out too much, but it's pretty self-explanatory if you haven't heard it before. It's strictly one thing versus the other. It could be players, it could be teams, it could be anything in sports. So
the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that.
So today we're going to revisit something because we spoke about it on the show maybe last week, the week before, but now that this NBA Finals is over, We're gonna try this again just to see if any opinions have changed. And tonight we're gonna go LeBron James, our favorite player, versus Dwayne Wade.
Dude,
Brad, who's the better player? Yeah, all right, we can keep score here because we can tell the audience that Brad was the only one out of the five of us who chose Dwayne Wade in the first place. But I want to see if anything's changed after the final. So. Dwayne Wade or LeBron James, B. Austin?
I wouldn't even have asked me that. I'd have just said Brad believes Dwayne Wade and kept it moving.
So nothing?
You just want to answer or you want my reason?
I mean, you can give a quick reason. I mean, it's a quick segment.
I think that Dwayne Wade demonstrated throughout that series why he's the better player because he takes all the talent that he has and he applies it to giving maximum effort to get a win, and he's not scared to put it all out on the line to get that victory. What difference does it make if you have all the muscles in the world, but you don't lift weights? What difference does it make if you're LeBron James if you don't shoot the ball? What difference does it make if you're Peyton Manning if you can't come through in the clutch, or Tom Brady for that matter? You're just a talent.
Jimmy.
You're just a talented bum.
Yo,
Jimmy,
you
chose LeBron last time.
I did choose LeBron. This is still tough because, like, I've never seen a player with the gifts that LeBron has. But with that being said, Austin is right because it's like you see a girl and she's like, she's fine. She's this lovely looking girl. And then she talks to you and her breath stinks. Like, you forget all about how great this girl looks because her breath is hawking, right? So it's like with LeBron, he has all the tools in the world, but if he's not going to use them at his most crucial time, then it doesn't matter how many tools he has. But it's tough to say. I would take anybody above LeBron considering the talent he has. But right now, after what he just showed me, FOH, Raymond, I'm going with D-Wade. As a matter of fact,
we got a switch.
I'm taking Joel Anthony.
Jimmy, real quick. And this is for all y'all, really. If LeBron is going to be that, then what's the difference between him and Lamar Kardashian or Tim Thomas, for that matter? Them dudes should have, would have, could have been. Go ahead.
Man.
Yo, but Lamar don't quit in the clutch like that either, though. Lamar should be better
Good
than
point.
What he is. But he doesn't like, yo, the ball literally stopped. Yo, he was playing hot potato with the Rock. He was giving the shots to Juwan Howard. Come on, cuz.
No, Mario. The big three is Mario Chalmers, Udonis Haslem, and Dwayne Wade.
It goes back to an old argument, Dev. Like, would you rather have somebody that gives maximum effort or somebody who just has all the skills in the world? Now, you know, If you're a coach, would you rather have a player that you know is going to give you 110% or somebody who may give you, like, you know, 100% or even 90%, but they have all the skills? Like, it's difficult to say because he has so much talent.
All right. Hey, look, before we go to Bayon, I'm just some of our war room people out there. We got Donnie V in the chat room who says D. Wade is the better player. We got my man Emmanuel on Facebook who says LeBron is the better player, hands down. So we got some Wade sentiments. We got some LeBron sentiments. Bam, what do you think?
Man, as much fire and passion as Wade played with, I mean, blocking centers' dunks and hitting crucial three-pointers, and he's not even a three-point shooter. And just the passion he played with, as much as I would want to go with that, if I'm thinking over an 82-game season, which player can probably get more wins for my playoff position, with all things being equal, I'd still have to go with LeBron. Now, if you're asking at the end of the game, obviously I'm going to go with Wade. But I think if everything's equal on the team and you add Wade or LeBron, I think LeBron's team will finish with a better regular season record. Now, I do know that he will probably fold in the clutch. Now, if I'm a coach or the GM, I figure me, myself, Akil Bayon Sr., will make him put the work in that he needs to so he can be the player that I think he can be. So that's my caveat with that.
All right, we also got Willie G on Facebook that says J.J. Barea is better than LeBron. Go ahead.
Yo, shout out to Willie G.
Kill him.
Yo, shout out to Willie G.
Go ahead. What was you about to say?
I was going to say I don't like this. I don't like this distinction that people are making because, to me, it's still being captured by SportsCenter. What it's saying is like, you know, LeBron is so big and powerful and he dribbles so well and he passes so well. And for three quarters of the game, he's just such a – yo, a part of the game, the most important part of the game is closing it out and getting the win when it counts. And so – I don't like that. Yo, I'll take LeBron, but I would take Kobe, take the last shot. Yo, that's a part of the game. You have to make the decision holistically. You got to look at the whole picture. And whole picture, I got Dwayne Wade giving me, you know, he's not 6'8", he's not 270, but he's a hell of a player. Plus, I'm going to get that performance in the last 2-3 minutes of the game, which is very important.
Yeah,
we have a comment in our chat room, Dev. In our chat room, Monty215 says that Bron Bryan's heart pumps Kool-Aid. It doesn't mean that he's not a better player. It just means he's a chump. Bron Bryan is better than AI, but doesn't have the heart. He's a better player overall, but he's a chump with a retarded hairline and an ET neck.
He keep going on his hairline. Yo, see, a little bit of what everybody is saying, I kind of agree with. And it's like it basically comes down to what you put more weight on. Because, you know, I chose LeBron, and it wasn't even a question the last time we had this conversation. But it's difficult to just ride with LeBron, like, hands down after witnessing what he did in the biggest moments this year in the finals and what he did in the biggest moments against the Celtics last year. Now, I've seen LeBron carry a team, you know, the Cavs, for several years. I'm not one of those people that act like he didn't have help. That's just stupid. But I witnessed him carry a team, but he never really got them over that hump. So I figured, okay, you get LeBron into a situation where he has two other superstars and some okay role players on the team. This is his moment, and that should have been his moment. And the way he played, I don't know if I can take him over Dwayne Wade right now, because even when Wade struggled in the last two games, like you said, Jimmy, he struggled with heart. He went out firing. And there was times in that series, in that last game, when LeBron was hot potato with the ball. So, of course, we know LeBron James is the more talented of the two. Now, that's hands down by far. But I think if I'm going into a war, if I'm going into a war, man, I'm strapping on the guns. I'm being a foxhole. I think I'm going to have to take Dwayne Wade with me, man.
Yo, it's crazy because sometimes just playing hard can get you over the hump. Look, let's take it to the Philadelphia. Donovan McNabb has all the physical attributes. But if I would rather have Jeff Garcia, who plays hard, than
right.
someone that's going to throw up all over the field and quit on his team and then blame it on his defense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's not even about having the most talent in the world. You know, you can have
right.
all the skills in the world, but if you don't utilize them. But with that being said, LeBron still has time because people are making it seem a lot worse than what it is. If he rolls off three straight championships, you know what I mean? He did hurt his legacy, but he still has time because he's young.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I
mean? So,
yeah, I don't.
So
I was never a subscriber to the, you know, LeBron, no matter who he plays, he's never going to win. LeBron's going to win a championship. He's probably going to win more
yeah.
than one championship. But as of right now, like I said, he's way more talented, has way more of a skill set than Dwayne Wade. But Dwayne Wade is going to show up when you need him. And I think that might be more important than your skill set right now, because somebody can throw up a meaningless triple-double every other game. LeBron did.
Yo, it's just like,
what game was that?
Yo. It's just like Dirk. It's just like Dirk.
And he's still struggling. He's that talented that 17, 10, and 10 was still a struggling game for him.
As soon as playoffs, people looked at Dirk as being soft and not being able to get it done, and rightfully so, because that's what he showed us. So as of right now, this is what LeBron is showing us in clutch moments. So until he proves otherwise, you can't take a guy like that.
Listen, fellas, make the comparison between Kobe Bryant and Ray Allen. Now, Ray Allen is great. He's a Hall of Fame player. But when they came in the league at that time, between 96 and, say, 2002,
Go ahead. I said, I don't know if I believe that, but go ahead.
But skill and talent-wise, how far apart were they? How far apart were they, skill and talent-wise?
Yo, to be honest, I didn't think
I think
there
Ray
was
Allen
that
had
much.
More skills of any two-guard in the league, for real, for real.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like, I would always say in an individual workout, like, if you had Kobe and Ray Allen, you would probably pick Ray Allen because everything would be so precise. But it seemed like Kobe just always played with a higher motor, where, like, Ray Allen was chilling. Like, y'all remember when Ray Allen stopped dunking on people? I mean, I know he's older now, but we knew he had this talent in him to go to the rack and just puff on the center, and then he just, like, stopped for, like, a few years. You know what I'm saying? Where Kobe is still, like, pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. So I think that's
right.
The difference.
Kobe is still going to the rack, two-handed, levitate, come up on the other side. Ray Allen is
now. Well, he wasn't against the Mavericks. He had one layup the whole series. But we gotta wrap it up. I just had one point to make since y'all did bring up Kobe. I want to apologize because I did say a few weeks ago that at this point I think that LeBron was neck and neck and probably will pass him by the start of next season. I take that back. I apologize. it's just the same thing like we just discussed with Dwayne Wade. In my mind, there's no way that we can sit here and say that he surpasses Kobe after doing that on the biggest stage, because, as we already said, skills and talent, that gets you only but so far. But you got to show and prove in the big moments. And
if he averages 30, 20, and 20 in the regular season, it won't even matter. He's at the point now, sort of like Dirk, where it's like championship or that's it. Like, if Dirk would have did all this in the playoffs and still lost in championship, you know, it's like he's at the point now where it's win the chip or that's it. It don't matter what you do in the regular season.
Yo, he'll be Chris Webber. He'll be Chris Webber, just a stat stuffer.
Well, he's much better than Chris Webber. But, Jim, take us in. He's
hot topic. He's Chris Webber.
Yes, tell me about some hot topics, yo. The NHL has crowned the champion as Boston knocks off Vancouver 4-0 in Game 7 to claim the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it earlier, Dev did, as a result, Vancouver fans riot and destroyed their city. But any thoughts on the series?
Just one quick one, because the series was actually kind of interesting, because up until last night, no team had won on the road. So Boston, you know how they always, the little cliche, a series doesn't start until the road team gets a win. So it took all the way up until Game 7 for the road team to actually get a win. And shout out to Tim Thomas, because dude only gave up something crazy, like 8 goals in 7 games or something crazy like that. Like,
yeah, I heard his name. I wasn't watching the TV, but I heard his name, and I was like, damn, the Boston's going over?
Yeah, he was the kind of dude, he could have got the MVP. Even if they had lost last night, he might have gotten the MVP.
I'm not going to front. When I saw Tim Thomas, because I know he was on the Mavs roster, but then he took some time away to be home with his ailing wife, take care of his family. Yeah, and I was like, yo, Tim Thomas, like, what are you doing nowadays? And then I was like, oh, the hockey dude. I was like, oh, my bad.
MVP.
Yo, real quick question to Austin. You got anything you want to say about the series?
No. Congratulations to the Bruins.
I don't give congratulatory any kind of text, voice, or anything to anybody from Boston. FOH for everybody from Boston. Shout out to Matt Damon. Yo, but real quick though, speaking of Boston, is Boston now considered title town? I mean, they've pretty much won in all major sports. Over the last decade, they got something crazy like, how many was it, 7-8 titles, something like that?
They got...
Well, the Celtics are better than the Lakers.
Listen, they got seven titles in the last 10 years, but in the span of the last 8 years, starting from last night, all four of their major teams has won a title. So even if you don't like Boston, if you're from Philly, New York, one of their rival cities, how can you not say that Boston is title town right now? And it pains me to say that because when they're on, they got some of the most annoying fans that you will ever meet in your life. They get real
cocky. I'm just not going to acknowledge it.
I'm not even going to speak on it. You're not even going to speak on it, but yeah, they got to be title town. That's funny because they took a poll today on the Four Letter Network of what cities they think will be next in line to be title town, and Philadelphia won the poll. I was like, here?
Oh my! We're going to go through a 45-year drought. We all going to be dead before we win anything now.
But you know we're like one of four cities who actually have that distinction. Well, they were trying to see if there was anybody, any city, who won the four major titles in a short span like that. Theirs was 8. Philly won four major titles in, I think it was like 21 years. And then you know, of course, when we talk about that to people, they say, "Well, Philly never won a Super Bowl," and you have to kind of remind people that. You know, the NFL, they were playing championship games before they changed the name of the game to the Super Bowl. So, you know, prisoner of the moment, people. Sports happened before you were, you know, watching. So, FOH with that.
Yeah,
and I'm not being defensive because it's Philly.
Let's talk about some college football. Terrell Pryor makes a public apology to the former coach Jim Tressel, teammates, and Ohio State as a whole, and enters the NFL supplemental draft. Will he get taken?
And the silence is deafening.
Yeah.
How about this,
though?
His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says he's going to be a star, but of course that's his agent, so he's supposed to say that.
Nah, his agent was like, yo, he's going to run a 4-4. He's going to jump through the gym. He's going to be something as a quarterback that nobody else has seen. They're going to coach him up. And that kind of like looks at, they didn't say anything about his accuracy. They didn't say anything about his ability to read defenses. They didn't say anything about his arm. He just said he's a great athlete.
About him understanding coverage. So he basically, Drew Rosenhaus is basically fed into something that we will eventually probably do a little segment on, but how the black athlete suffers at the quarterback position because we don't get the coaching and the attention we need to develop at the collegiate level. So Drew Rosenhaus has basically hopped on that, you know, maybe unconsciously he's doing his player a disservice.
Well, he's his agent. I mean, that's his job to pick him
exactly.
up, pump him up, and make him look probably better than he's supposed to be. Will he go in a supplemental draft, Jimmy? Of course he'll go in a supplemental draft because it's not that much of a, you know, a loss
Yo,
that somebody.
I mean,
somebody
first off, if we keep it real, here's the thing about it. He's playing quarterback. Only 29% of quarterbacks that come into the NFL, regardless of whether you're drafted in the first or the 18th round, actually make it to become a starter for, you know, a long period of time. So
right.
The odds are against him making it regardless of how he got there. You know, so
right.
Who knows? I mean, only time will tell. I mean, but you look at Cam Newton got drafted number one overall. I mean, how much of a difference?
Terrell Pryor will get on somebody's roster, but, I mean, I don't know if he'll ever
get drafted.
starting quarterback.
Let me ask y'all a question. What's the difference between Cam Newton, Terrell Pryor, and the boy in Denver?
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yo. First off, shout out to my man Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow is the future of the league. But anyway,
yo, he's about to start.
Well, Tim Tebow.
No, but that may be the only difference right now. The other two are in the league and probably going to be starting quarterback. So,
if you don't think there's a difference,
if he doesn't think that there's a difference, then you may be admitting that there is a chance for Terrell Pryor.
I'm tired of talking about this jerk. Hopefully he can pay off his car note that he got from Roosevelt Boulevard. Anyway, yo, Major League Baseball, Derek Jeter is 6 hits away from 3,000, but is now on the disabled list. My question to you guys is very simple. Is Derek Jeter the greatest shortstop in baseball history?
We posed this question on the page, the Facebook page the other day, and, you know, our Philly correspondent, Naran, he said he has to be, but I don't know, it just doesn't resonate like that with me. As soon as you say shortstop and great, I just automatically think of Ozzy, you know?
Exactly.
But you look at
what's Ozzy's career batting average?
I have no idea, but I just think about Ozzy. somebody look that up real quick. But
when you go ahead,
262, 13 Gold Gloves, 262 hitter, hit 300 one time, won the World Series, 82,
that's where they differ, because Derek Jeter produces, and Derek Jeter produces in clutch moments.
Unbelievable.
As a hitter, but I think you have to acknowledge the fact that a shortstop, a large percentage of what you have to grade them on is their defensive abilities and their athleticism playing in the field and what they do. And so when you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, Derek Jeter is a hell of an athlete, but he's no Ozzy.
If you break it down, especially just to the defensive category, just like you said, then to me it's a no-brainer. But Derek Jeter, he's just a producer, man.
And the thing about Jeter is Jeter can struggle. But when the game's on the line, he's anti-LeBron. Like, yo, he'll stick it up the whole game, but when it's time to perform in the clutch, he's there. And that counts for a lot, Austin, especially with you. I know that has to count for a lot. You always talk about the clutch.
Yeah, it's
just
that.
It's
hard for me to admit that because he's a Yankee, and, you know, there are sworn enemies, death on sight. But, you know, being objective, it does weigh heavy. I'll put it like this. I can't think of anybody but Ozzy that I would say is in the same building with Derek Jeter.
Yo, my personal favorite shortstop is Steve Jeltz, only because, you know, nobody knows Steve Jeltz is. You can look him up. He played for the Phillies in like the 80s and 90s. But Steve Jeltz used to have this huge Jerry curl, and yet he was one of the fastest dudes in the league. So shout out to my man Steve Jeltz.
What about the Oriole?
Cal Ripken.
Overrated.
Yeah, Cal
Ripken.
Cool Cal.
Overrated. That's my personal opinion. That does not reflect the war room. It's my personal opinion. This is Jimmy, and I think Cal Ripken is overrated. I said it.
Really?
Cal Ripken.
Some people think Honus Wagner was the greatest shortstop of all time, but of course
I'm not familiar with his body of work.
Because, yo, check it out. He got inducted into the original Hall of Fame in 1936, so there's really nothing we can say about him.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they kind of say Cal was known for redefining the position of shortstop. Of course, he finished his career at third, but I want a definition for redefining. Like, what did he actually redefine besides
that's 4-H.
Being,
the ball played about the game in a row.
I think he redefined a bigger shortstop, you know, like a 6'2 and up shortstop that wasn't as agile as the guys like Ozzie Smith or Steve Jeltz. Actually, some lists have A-Rod. Some have A-Rod as a better shortstop than Jeter.
Yo,
what
I was
going
to say that. I was going to say Quiet as Kept, the best shortstop, is playing third base right now.
Well, definitely the best offense.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I've heard that. I definitely have heard that about A-Rod. He's better than Jeter. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
But not in the clutch. Yo, Jeter and A-Rod might be like, it might be like LeBron and Wade. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what, though? I think you have
to. Say the same thing.
I think you have to. That's a great point. But I think you have to look at the defensive things to define the shortstop, because everybody but a pitcher hits. So it's like the offensive side of the game. What'd you say?
I said, well,
in the national, yeah, I know in the National League they hit, but everybody hits. So I don't want to compare. I don't want to weigh so heavily on the offense. I want to look at what you do defensively, because that's even where your position comes from. You're the shortstop, so what do you do in the field?
Yeah, but
the
thing is, Jeter is not a bad defensive player, though. You
know,
think like I mean, Ozzie was great, but Jeter is good too.
I know that.
I don't know why my man Monty, he was listening in the chat room, why he ain't bringing up his favorite player, because he's always giving Jimmy Rollins shout-outs.
J-Roll for GOAT. All right, but we're not going to get a definitive answer on that one, so we can just move on.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about the NFL again. They say a deal may be struck in the next few weeks. What do you guys think about this?
I think they got the lawyers out of the way, because the lawyers were like, going at it like vampire pit bulls, and finally Goodell and DeMarcus got together and got the lawyers out of the way so that they could negotiate about the spirit of the agreement as opposed to the administration of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You kind of hear conflicting stories, though. From one side, you hear that it's a lot of positivity going on and there should be a deal struck within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Not just struck, but like struck, announced, you know, put in place. And then on some fronts you hear that, you know, it's all bunk and nothing's going on. So, I mean, I hope that the first part is the truth. They need to just get her done so we can have football. But, I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times, and this whole situation is just tiring, man. It's real tiring. They need to just get it done and, you know, help people out like Antonio Cromartie.
Yo, he should be running on E. He should be running on E right about now.
Yo, he couldn't spend his money last year. He couldn't spend his money last year. All his money last year, his whole salary, he had to have the Jets front him his salary so he could pay off all his child support debt.
Yo, it only got like eight. He got like eight. Yo, he got eight checks to cut. And the Jets awards him.
I think he like 9-4-11.
You all right over there, bro?
My fault. He has 9. He's 9-for-8. There you go.
He cut him 9.
I'm 9-for-8.
I want to say maybe 2 or 3 of them live with him, so he don't have to cut those checks. He just got to take care of them. But, yeah.
So 3 live with him, 6 don't. That's 10 checks, and you figure it's 6 checks, and you figure the judge awarded them women at least 10,000, if not more. Yo, he's spitting out 60,000 a month.
Yo, you just made that up.
Yeah, I could.
No.
But wait. I made that up. But that's conservative. Look at what his contract is.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm like, damn, you just like made up a figure, did the math.
That's supreme mathematics right there, Doug. Anyway.
Arm, leg, arm, head.
You already know. Yo, in the NBA, Dwight Howard is changing his tune a bit with his latest comments. Now he's talking about they got to win a championship or he's Swayze. Yo, what's up with your boy?
First thing I thought about was he's saying they need to do this, they need to do that. I'm like, homie, you need to work on your free throws. Maybe you ought to win some more games and playoff games if you were 85 or 80% free throw shooter.
Are you talking to him or Shaq?
Well, I'm talking to Dwight Howard, because he has troubles.
No, Shaq is going. Stop sending shots to Shaq. Shaq's going, man. Damn.
He's still sending subliminals.
He's still sending shots to Shaq. Shaq's tired.
When we talk
Shaq
about a
sending crips on you, also.
Shaq sending shots at other people's chicks.
This is kind of what we were leaning towards last time when he made his original comments. It didn't really seem like many people in the public believed what he was saying. So now, like you said, it seems like he's softening on his stance a little bit. So now the thing is, yeah, you know, I would love to stay in Orlando, but there's a but involved now. Like, we need to see who they get around me, and if we don't win the championship this year, then I'm going to test free agency. That's a crazy ultimatum because Dwight Howard knows damn well Orlando's not going to win the championship this year.
Why
so
is he
to
talking?
Me,
why not just shut up?
It's like, to me, basically, he just said, I'm leaving, and he just tried to say it in a nice, soft way. Y'all not winning the championship. Like, go ahead, man.
Yo, man.
They don't got Vince Carter no more.
Yo.
Go ahead,
Jimmy.
No, all I wanted to say is about the boy.
Well,
keep talking,
we
man.
Don't believe you. You need more people.
Yeah. Need more free
just
throws.
Shut up.
Yeah, yo, he has, you know, he's starting to get more technical, so that's hurting his team. Then he compounds it by being a 59% free throw shooter every year. It's not like he's creeping up. So I understand, yeah, you want this and that, but yo, homie, go work on your game. Now, he does get props for going to work with Hakeem last summer, and we saw the improvement in his post game. So my thing is, do everything that you can do before you start saying, well, no, we don't have this and we don't have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Yo, he wants to go play in Tinseltown for the buses.
You already know. Hey, Dev, tell everybody how they can get in touch with us real quick, yo.
All right, one last time and let y'all know how to get in touch with us. Like I said earlier, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com, sign up for the War Report, our official weekly newsletter right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send a message, an email message to one of us personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that contact page. Join our Facebook page at facebook.com/warroomsports. Show us what your sports knowledge is. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com and check out all the War Room Sports videos that my man Jimbo slices up on a weekly basis for your entertainment. For access to all of our media content, one place, anywhere, anytime, download that War Room Sports mobile app to your Android or Apple device. And that app is free for now. So you better go ahead and get it before we start smelling ourselves and put a little price tag on that. So for general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com. Once again, to get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. We're getting out about 5 to 6 articles per week now. We got a lot of good writers, so check it out. Don't let our work go in vain. You can subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show. You can catch it anytime you want on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room right now and every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us and to speak your mind, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk to us. And we'll see who's on the line, and we'll get your call and see what you want to talk about. So, fellas.
Yo, real quick, Dev, before we move on, I got our Philly correspondent, Nah. He wants to say something real quick. Let's see what Nah got to say. Hold on. Let me get him on. Nah.
What up, Broham?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this evening?
What's
up,
what's
Nah?
Good?
Yo, I know y'all moved on, but I want to make a quick point about the Ozzie Derek Jeter debate.
Right.
All right, well, I know shortstop is a position of defense, just like third base and just like center field, but you can't deny both sides. You can't deny offense and defense. Like, for the greatest Ozzie was, like, the boy's a 7-8-9 hole hitter his whole career. Like, come on. Like, the boy Jeter, he's a 5-2 player. Homers, average, he steals bases. And his defense is above average. Now, he don't have Ozzie's range, but Ozzie's a once-in-a-lifetime shortstop. Like, you know what I mean? And it's easy to just say. That's like me saying, well, Andrew Jones has, what, 9-10 glove gloves? So he's better than Willie Mays at center field. Like, that's ridiculous. Because Willie Mays is a better all-around player.
No, I'm sure what you're saying, too, because especially with the kind of ability that you need to play shortstop, you know, you should be good enough to be a leadoff hitter because your speed and agility helps the team in that one hole. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
and I don't blame Ozzie because in Ozzie era, shortstop was not an offensive position.
Yeah.
Like how B said, it was more for defense. Like him, the Larry Bullis, they didn't pick up the big offensive numbers because – the teams a lot more in their defense. But Jared, like you said, once Cal Ripken changed the position where, you know, shortstops were picking out 20 home runs, 100 RBIs a season, you had to do like Jared and A-Rod come up. So, but nothing from Ozzie, though, but Jeter is a better player, a much better player.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, because Ozzie's bat wasn't like that. I honestly think that I could pitch to Ozzie.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, we do beat on the older players because, you know, they're our era. Like, we more towards guys of our era. But Ozzie was nice, though. Yeah, he really was. Not saying nothing from the
like,
ball, but.
Now, think about Jeter. Like, we don't really have any Jeter shortstop, at least I don't, fielding memories as much as we do of Ozzie and his memories. You see what I'm saying? In the field.
But you know what else? There's two opportunities. Like, St. Louis had horrible pitching staff. So, of course, Ozzie's going to get more opportunities to make plays in the field because the pitchers are getting shells. When Jeter era, you know, they had pretty good start pitching, so the opportunities aren't there as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, even when we compare people from other sports, it's kind of difficult when you're comparing eras because the game changes and some players may not have done the same play. I get what you're saying.
Right, but... like, only one thing I like about baseball is that's the kind of one sport that we kind of can't compare errors because the game hasn't changed much.
Especially
like, you know, football, guys get bigger, fizzier, faster, but baseball is still that pitcher versus, like, you know what I mean, batter duel.
Yeah, and baseball is the game, in my opinion, where statistics count the most.
Yeah.
Even though you can still be a choke box in big situations, but a lot of times in baseball, you can judge a player by the stats. What are you saying, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying something.
Yeah.
All right. But that's all right. Y'all go. I'm going to take this to the show. Yeah. Have a good one. All right,
man.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
It's time to roast LeBron, yo. All right, now.
Hey, yo, real quick, before we go into the NBA talk, I still got a bone to pick with Dwight Howard because, yo, I have some statistics here. They lost in their first round loss to Atlanta, upset loss. The first game, they lost by 10. He missed 8 free throws and had 8 turnovers. And then in Game 3, they lost by 4. He missed 4 free throws, had 3 turnovers. Then the next game they lost by 3. He missed 5 free throws and had 8 turnovers. Then the last game, they lost by 3. He missed 3 free throws and had 6 turnovers. So all I'm saying is before he starts calling out everybody else, even though he balled out from a statistic standpoint, when it came to free throws and turnovers, there's a lot that Mr. Howard can work on to improve his team. That's all.
Yes, sir. Dev, you want to talk some NBA Finals?
Yep. We're going to give the Mavericks this song one more time. Yes, sir. All right. So as we all know, we talked about it at different times during the show. It's been talked about all week. But, of course, the Mavericks defeated the Heat in 6 games, 4-2. So we're going to do our little recap and then, you know, talk about some things surrounding the series. So, first of all, Q, you know, you're down there. You know, you got the pulse on everything that was happening. And we're going to go kind of like little X and O's here. How did the Mavericks beat Miami? What was the formula that Carlisle put in place that beat the big baddie?
Okay, well, to start with the zone. Dallas is known in NBA circles to play more zone than any team in the league. So they would start out the game in man-to-man, and then they would go zone, and then they saw that going zone could frustrate LeBron. Because if you all remember, you know, the highlights where LeBron is just coming down one-on-one, just slamming it on people's heads left and right, you notice as the series
drug on, it, you know, he kind of stopped that, and he kind of stopped going to the hole. So that was the zone. Also, as we all know, inserting J.J. Barea into the starting lineup, I mean, that was huge because they wanted Barea's pressure in the backcourt to disrupt Miami's offense. And if you notice, a lot of times in those games, you know, Wade and LeBron look really tired. One, they're logging a lot of minutes. Two, you got Barea out there. Then they got to check Barea on offense, and then he's pressuring you on a defensive end. So that's what it came down to, the zone and keeping up the tempo with Barea out there.
Right. You agree, Austin? Is that what you saw?
Yeah. Mic check.
You good?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, we hear you. Hear
yeah, we hear
you. Oh, my fault. My fault, brothers. That's definitely what I saw. I saw the zone. I saw them playing a game of chess with the personnel. Carlisle was paying a lot of attention to Spoelstra's substitution patterns and making sure that he matched up athletically on the defensive end, not so much to stop LeBron and Wade, but to make it a lot harder for them because Dallas had the luxury of having a lot of scoring on its bench. So they could afford to bring in guys that weren't necessarily scorers on the perimeter because you still have Dirk who scores from the perimeter even though he's considered a pivot player. Then you can switch it up. You bring Barea, who no one expected him to match LeBron in terms of his scoring. But, you know, 17, 18, 20 points from Barea is major. Then you're getting that from Jason Terry. Then you're getting threes from Deshaun Soldier Boy. You know, they had a lot of scoring.
No, actually,
Stevenson, tell him.
There was one adjustment that Carlisle made that was pretty good. Like, I didn't even know how it was going to fly at first, like when he first put Barea in the starting lineup. But I think his thinking was, okay, we need to start the game with a little more offense because they kept getting down big to the Heat, and, you know, they had to keep coming back every game. So that was one of the better moves. You know, it ended up being a great move. He inserted more offense into the starting lineup because he realized, okay, Deshaun Stevenson is your defensive stopper. So you put him on LeBron or on Wade, but he realized once they started playing that zone and it was being effective that you didn't need a man-to-man
defense
to start the game more so than, you know, somebody that's going to help you score some points and not get behind. So I think that was a really good move to insert Barea.
Dev, to your point, the other thing that they realized is towards the middle of that series that they wouldn't need to use Sean Marion as much on LeBron and basically waste that much athleticism. They put Sean Marion at 6'8 on Dwayne Wade and moved their point guard, Jason Kidd, over to check LeBron because it seemed like LeBron had a problem really kind of posting him up or scoring on Jason Kidd. So then you make it difficult to have Dwayne Wade having to shoot over somebody who's 6'8", but can guard the 1, the 2, the 3, and the 4 in Sean Marion. So that cross
real
match.
Quick, I saw LeBron get pushed out of the post by Barea. Like, that right there is when I knew. I knew. And then the next time down, he gets an offensive foul because he, like, tries to hit the ball because he realized that he couldn't post up Barea. At that point, I knew it was over. How are you not able to post up Barea when you like 6'9", 300? Come on, cuz. Yo, but
not only
them,
but it's all about, like, we talk about the size, but it's all about knowing what you're doing down there. And, you know, LeBron does have to probably swallow his pride a little bit and do what Kobe did. Go see Hakeem Olajuwon over the summer.
Go see the Wizard.
If LeBron James gets a post game, he will be utterly unstoppable. But go ahead, make your point, Jim.
No, but my point is you guys have pretty much made a lot of great points in terms of what the Mavericks did, X's and O's, to win the series. Rick Carlisle just completely out-coached Coach Spo. I mean, a lot of it was Coach Spo's players not even respecting him or listening to what he was saying, too. I mean, you can't dribble through a zone the way they were trying to go one-on-one when Dallas was playing a zone. What are you doing? Like, you know, I know kids that play out like Simon's
and everybody,
like,
and everybody in Philly was laughing at that because we played 2-3 on the playground.
Yeah, Doobie, if City of Philadelphia on the playground, we play a 2-3, so we know that you don't dribble through the zone that way. Like, what are you doing? Do you not have – and my thing is, okay, the zone catches you off guard initially because Dallas uses it so well, but after a couple games, do you not prepare for that zone? And I saw a couple times when the coach was – I'm telling them, look, you know, you have to pass the ball around, yada, yada, yada. And they have this thing, the Heat do, where they regress. When the going gets tough, they start going one-on-one.
Right. And, Jimmy, a lot of people, because, you know, there are a lot of L2s out there who actually try to use Coach Spo being our coach as an excuse for LeBron's play. But, you know, and I know you didn't mean it this way, but that's not even an insult. Rick Carlisle is a seasoned coach. He's successful, you know, at every stop he's been to. Had it not been for the malice in the Palace, the Pacers probably would have won the championship that year.
I agree with that.
With that being said, it's not embarrassing for a young, inexperienced in the playoffs coach like Spo to get out-coached by Rick Carlisle. Did anybody expect anything different in the series? You know?
Yo, but not only that, Rick Carlisle's coaching has nothing to do with you getting pushed out of the post by the Puerto Rican AI.
Exactly.
Yo, you know what? I'm not gonna let the players off the hook either. As I hear y'all kind of letting people know, listen, coaching is one small contributing factor. If you've played basketball all of your life and you've shot millions of shots, played in thousands of games, you know the fundamentals of beating a zone, and they have two perfect weapons to fight it, to play against a zone. There's no way you should lose against a 2-3 if you have Chris Bosh, who you can put at the free throw line, a high post, and you have LeBron James, who should have a mid-range game where you could put him at the high post, and that way he's that much closer to the basket and he can facilitate from the middle of that zone. They should, as players, be able to determine that.
Right. I'm not gonna let Spo completely off the hook, but you know, I've seen people try to blame him entirely because there always has to be an excuse for LeBron. So now it's like all Spo's fault. And you know, people forget how they were raving about their defense in series past and who implemented that defense. Because individually, none of those players were playing defense like that prior to this year. So
I agree.
People can say that they were, but they damn sure weren't. So I don't know. Like you said, they're professional players, so they do have to take accountability at some point. My man John Bat in the chat room said Miami had no set plays for being down and needing to get back into the game. Why wouldn't they follow Jerry Sloan's example when Utah came back from down 18 to beat them early in the season? My answer to that would be whether it's from the coaches, whether it's from the players, we all had to witness that there's a certain level of cockiness on Miami Heat because of who they have. So they probably think that they can always get back into the game, whether they're running set plays or not. And to a certain extent in the regular season and a little bit in the playoffs, they proved that. I mean, they were down kind of big every game in the first series against the Sixers. I mean, we didn't expect them not to come back and win those games. But they've proven that they can just go out there and run playground ball because we killed them all year for not having set plays, and they still proved everybody wrong. Won a bunch of games, got the 2 seed, and made it to the finals. So they probably thought that they could live off that, and they ran into a better team.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the coaching, Coach Spo gets a little bit of the blame, but not the complete blame. Like I said, there were certain plays that I saw him, and they had the cameras everywhere during the finals, telling his players to do certain things, and they just didn't listen. They have this thing like, you know, all you have to do is put pressure on them. And as long as they're playing with the lead, they're fine. But even this series, playing with the lead didn't even help a lot. But once you put pressure on them, they have this thing where they just start going one-on-one. It doesn't matter what the coach says. They just want to go one-on-one.
And you know what? We haven't said his name the whole show, but Chris Bosh balled. He balled. People can clown him all they want. And, you know, like he's a non-existent one, but he showed up more than the person who was supposed to do that.
To your point, Dev, for real, He was busting Dirk's ass when he got a chance.
Yeah,
I told you before, though. That's the thing about Bosh. Like, he he doesn't get the ball like he used to, like he's used to getting in Toronto. So when he's guarding somebody that's good and he's getting cracked, you know, it just looks bad because he doesn't really get to go back at them like he would have in Toronto. So,
yeah.
You know, he always comes out looking like, oh. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Dirk's flew-footed. Dirk can't guard nobody. So,
yeah, Dirk
that's why.
But Dirk blew right by him to win the game, though. What was his defense at then?
You know, I think he was sitting. I disagree with that, though. Before, see, he has a reputation now, and it seemed like it all crashed down on him in one play. Bosch wasn't a bad defender in Toronto. I'm not saying he was Kevin Garnett or anybody like that, but he wasn't a bad defender. He was on that play, he was sitting on a J, which is, you know, I was about
Garden
to
Dirk, I guess
it,
so.
But 90% of the time, at the end of the game, dudes do take jump shots. But you still got to be ready for whatever, and it was a
oh,
bad
no,
defense.
I'm going to give Chris Bosh credit because he did ball out. He's like the greatest black European transsexual player to ever play in the NBA. And I give him a lot of credit as being the first woman to be able to play in the NBA, so he does deserve a lot of credit.
And in the NBA Finals.
Juwanaman was balling. But go ahead, though.
This is something, I mean, it seems like in earlier conversations, I was kind of getting a feel for what you guys thought about this. But, okay, let's go back to the LeBron James disappearing act because, you know, let's be real. We give props to Dallas, and the series was full of other things, but everybody who doesn't want to talk about this, the L2s, you know this is the biggest story of the finals. So, fellas, Kill, what do you think? Did you think LeBron's legacy may have taken another hit with his performance in the finals, especially since he was playing so well on both sides leading up to the finals? So, you know, it kind of makes it seem like as the situation got bigger, you know, his pipe started to swell.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he really has to live this down with the Finals MVP, with stepping up. Because let's say they win next year, but he has a similar performance, but Wade carries them enough where he gets the Finals MVP. Everybody's going to say, yeah, LeBron got his title, but at the end of the day, when it comes to legacy, they were like, yeah, but Wade was the man during that title run. So as Bill Simmons put, the alpha dog theory in his book, LeBron, his title or thought as being the alpha dog in the Miami Heat definitely takes a hit, which in turn hurts his legacy. So I think right now people are looking at him like a Scottie Pippen 2.0 2011 version in terms of all the great things he can do on the court, but just folding in the big moments.
Right. I hear you. I see you over there chomping at the bit. Go ahead. You got it. Megan. All right, man. Stop breathing into the mic. Just go ahead, man. Austin. You going?
Oh, that wasn't me, brother. That was not yours truly, sir.
Go ahead. You got something?
I would refer to that Bill Simmons article, and he brought up the fact that, you know, not only the alpha dog thing, but LeBron is so talented and so good at almost everything in the game that he doesn't have that one signature thing, particularly on the offensive end, that he has confidence in that he can attach to dominating the game at a particular moment when it's needed. I definitely think that his legacy is tarnished regardless. Even if he'd have got the MVP of the finals, you still went to another man's team to play second fiddle.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
I'm all about dissing the super team.
Right. If anybody wants to call in and weigh in on the NBA finals, you can reach us at 323-410-0012. We're going to go to the phone lines now. We got Naeem in Baltimore. Nah, you're in the world,
hey,
man. What's going on?
What's going on?
What's up,
going Naeem? On, everybody?
What's
hey,
up,
nah,
homie?
Man.
What's up,
man? It's not, man. I'm tired of talking about this crybaby dude, man. I'm really, he's a waste of breath for talking. I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, let's be realistic here. Everybody, I mean, what was that statement after the game for to make that to the media? You know they're going to chew you up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, you
just be a man. Be a man. Say, look, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to work harder next year. We'll be back next year. Don't give some little lame of you're going to wake up with your problems tomorrow morning. That goes to show you his intelligent level. Mentally, this dude is not ready for the game yet.
You know what my answer is to what you just said about him, you know, just shutting up and going to the gym? That's difficult to do when you're surrounded by yes men. He's surrounded by yes men. He's surrounded by yes fans. They tell him everything he wants to hear. They tell him he's already perfect. You're already the best player in the league. You've been the best player in the league for 3 years, which is poppycock. So, but if you're being told all of this all the time, then where's your work ethic going to come from? You already think you're perfect. You already think you're the best player on the planet.
But
obviously,
this is my
he
thing,
doesn't
though.
Have it in him mentally, like you said, to be like cats like Mike and Kobe, who even when they know that they're the best player on the planet, they still have it in them to try to bring something new to the court every year. But my bad. Go ahead now.
Now, what I was tripping about, and like I said, no low post moves, but having to get a charge call against J.J. Barrera, that was ridiculous. You mean tell him you couldn't stick one left or spin to the inside drop? I mean, J.J. Barrera is as tall as your hip. Seriously. Like, that was disrespectful. I mean,
but
this dude, I
even
mean,
if you don't, even if you don't have moves, he could have just backed him down.
Leaned
on
him.
Why do you have to
gangster basket? Like Isaiah Thomas, he could have just gangstered a basket.
Yeah,
exactly.
But, I mean, with LeBron, I mean, and you know what's sad about it? I mean, even his fans cry like him. That's what makes me cry laughing. I mean, I love the game of basketball. I take the joke for Kobe. That's my man. I'm a Lakers fan, so I die. But his fans get so mad. Like, you really know this guy. You know what I mean? Like, they get cry, they get upset and everything. They really get feel like he
they
do. But
Nain, we call them L2s because they're a bunch of LeBron lovers, yo. They'll make any excuse. A bunch of L2s. It don't matter, yo. Look, LeBron could smack their mom
now,
and they'll defend it. It's a mom. What did you do?
Yeah, now it's the coach fault. It's the coach fault. Come on, you got Wade out there playing hurt. You got Bosh balling. Everybody doing their part. You supposed to step up to the stage and be the man. Be King James. Be King James.
No,
you got it.
Because that role is reserved for Mario Chalmers, the Alaskan.
You ain't never lie. Look, it's been real with you. I got to get back here on this phone.
All right, nah. Thanks for your call.
All right, man.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, nah.
Appreciate it, Naeem.
That's a good point,
all
though, man.
Dev,
Mario
quick,
Chalmers actually
go,
showed up.
Go ahead, before we go, let me give my opinion. I didn't say anything yet. Okay. I think it's sort of like in our chat room what Monty just said. He said, like Kobe and MJ, their crews probably said the same thing in terms of them being great. The difference is they were just killers. And that's kind of where I'm going with my opinion. Brad wrote a great blog this past week, and for those of you who want to read it, go to warroomsports.com/blog. But anyway, and he talked about LeBron's upbringing. And I'm not trying to get, like, on my criminal minds, John, but it has a lot to do with why he plays the way he plays. If you notice, LeBron wants to be liked by everybody. Yo, have you ever seen LeBron? LeBron don't even argue with the refs. LeBron wants everybody to be his friend. He wants to be accepted. If you watch that movie on LeBron, you notice that LeBron just wants to be everybody's friend. He doesn't have that killer instinct. Kobe and Michael, just use them two as an example, they didn't care how their teammates felt about him. As a matter of fact, most of Mike's teammates thought he was an asshole, and the same with Kobe. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they didn't care. It's like LeBron, he has this fear of failure. Like, you know, it's like – It reminds me. I remember Larry
Bird,
right?
He has a fear of being.
Wait, correction, brother. I don't even think it's a failure. Fear of failure. It's a fear of being disliked.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it goes.
I think it's both.
The reason I say fear of failure is because it works at one and the same. Like, he doesn't want to let his teammates down, so they don't like him, so to speak. I remember when Larry Bird, right? Larry Bird used to coach the Pacers for that small run, and I remember one game when Reggie Miller was like 0-for-10, and in the press conference. They said, you know, how'd you feel? He said, Reggie, you know, stunk the game up, so to speak. And he said, why? Because he went 0-for-10. He said, no, because he should have went 0-for-20. And his point was, if you're my best player, keep shooting. Dude just checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. It's not that they lost. They could have lost. But, yo, don't go out like that.
Yeah, but, Jimmy, just because of the point that you just made, that's why Dwayne Wade isn't taking flack. All the L2s, they keep saying that. Well, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh lost too, but those dudes went out firing, especially Dwayne Wade. He stunk it up in game 6. But he went out firing. He didn't look like he quit. Because people want to always say, well, how'd you know he quit? You weren't in his mind. Well, we're going on what it looked like. And I can tell, you know, it's not hard to see. It's not, you know, if you look like
even,
he quit.
Even on the rumors that came out, that was nothing but some one of them L2s trying to give an excuse to this dude. I mean, look, it is what it is. But, yo, you can't go out like that. I don't care what sport you're in. It's like I'd rather see you fight than to just, like, quit like that when the going gets tough. And I think that a lot of it has to do, honestly, with how he was raised. Brad, I mean, you made a lot of great points in that article you wrote in, and I think that's real. People don't think that is real, but that's real. The way he was raised, I blame it on his pop. So we're going to blame all this on LeBron's pop, whoever he is.
Hey, but look,
LeBron's mom is like 3 years older than him, so they grew up together. But go ahead, though.
Let's switch gears a little bit because, you know, it sounds like it's kind of unanimous here that his legacy took a hit a little bit. But I'm pretty sure what we all can agree with is since LeBron's only 26 years old, he has a lot of time to, you know, to start stacking those bricks back on his legacy and to make it better than ever. He just has to do something different. A lot of people saying it might be mental and he might actually need a doctor. And, you know, they say that, and you know, kind of jokingly, but you might have to think about that. But let's switch gears, talk about another thing. Let's talk about Dirk, because like Jimmy was saying earlier, you know, we all, you know, a lot of us thought that Dirk was a person who was a great player, but when it counted, when the big moments came, Dirk kind of, you know, ducked down into his turtle shell. This NBA Finals win, the way he played, the fact that he won the MVP, Kill, what do you think that does for Dirk's legacy, you know, from this day forward?
Man, that, I mean, Dirk, I don't know, I forgot where he was ranked in Simmons' book all time or how far he's going up, but or even by the media and people, but Dirk has, like, put himself into, I think, at least top 20 all time with this win. I know Carlisle said top 10, and we were like, yo, you're crazy, homie. And then now they got the title when in a season where nobody picked them to win. You know, I know we made the argument that people were like, well, LeBron's team was garbage in Cleveland. He didn't have this and that. Well, if you take away LeBron and you take away Dirk and you put LeBron's teams in Cleveland the past 2 years before going to Miami and Dirk's team now, that's basically the same team. And Dirk got it done against LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. So, well, you know, Dirk's legacy
bet
is
in
definitely.
Regular season, but LeBron's Cleveland teams was beating Dirk's teams, in, you know, in their regular season games.
Exactly.
And Dev, my point is this. You guys know that I've always been critical of Dirk. And people always say, why do you talk about Dirk or talk about LeBron? It's because when you recognize players that have this much talent, it's like you expect more out of them. It's like with great talent comes great responsibility.
Yeah,
we don't
expect nothing from Eddie House.
Yeah, like I'll never criticize Eddie House because I don't expect nothing from Eddie House. But with that being said, Dirk has come up small in the past. In terms of what this has done for his legacy, it shows that he had some sort of mental toughness because he went through adversity. And a lot of times it's not about how you play or anything when, you know, when things are going good, but when you fall on your face and you keep working, I have a lot more respect for him for the simple fact that he did sell the farm last time they played the Heat. He did sell out the year he won MVP. But the dude kept fighting, and I saw like a fire in his eyes this year that I've never seen before, no rainbow.
And he made sure it didn't happen again.
Yeah, and according to my T215 said, plus Dirk had a flu game, so now he gets to be a legend. All the legends kept the game were physically crippled.
He named Mike Isaiah Magic Kobe. That's true, though. I mean, you know, you got that game in the playoffs or in the finals where you got some kind of ailment, whether it be, you know, a cold or an ankle or something like that. It's drama. It's that NBA Finals type of drama. And, you know, whether Dirk was faking or not, because, you know, LeBron and Wade had a little fun. Like, how stupid do you think they feel for doing that now?
Yeah, they feel like idiots. Yo, but Magic outdueled Mike, if you think about it, because Magic was playing with that germ. But anyway,
man Magic had a house in Virginia.
I'm along the lines of what Akil was saying. I think it does like wonders for Dirk's position, because we always talk about how, you know, I mean, we just finished talking about win or lose, go out fighting and stuff like that. I think his legacy would have been improved even had they lost, just because, like you said, Jimmy, you saw that fire in his eye. He didn't play like he played before when the going got tough. So even had they lost, I think his legacy would have improved. But the fact that, you know, he helped them tremendously, he helped them to a win, with the talent that he has, he might have gone up.
And
as far as
I just thought about something. Just like we talk about LeBron, how he stopped shooting. Yo, Dirk was like 1-for-12 in the first half. So what does he do? Yeah. He puts up 17 more. Yo, the boy did up 29.
Dirk, whatever.
He kept shooting. He kept missing, but he kept shooting. And that's the difference. That's right there. That right there is the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people might not even understand that concept that we're saying right now, but think about it. Just think about it for a minute. You don't want your superstar to just go into a shell because he's having a bad game. You've had the green light the whole season, your whole career. You know, don't stop the green light just because you're having a bad time at it. So, yeah, props to Dirk. Definitely a shout-out to my man, J. Kidd, man. He deserves Jason Kidd, to me, Jason Kidd and Mark Cuban, man, they deserve this. Like, I don't know I haven't met anybody who said if they were playing basketball, like, they wouldn't want to play for a team that was owned by Mark Cuban.
Good point.
He deserved it, man. And I know if Payne David Sternhardt hand that man the trophy, even though he made him pass it on to the old owner.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
If you take Jason Kidd off of the Mavericks and put him on the Heat, do the Heat win?
No. Nah.
I don't know. Good question.
Good question.
I think maybe they do. Because, you know, when everything's going willy-nilly like that, they may have needed somebody to just calm them down and play smart. Because a lot of the mistakes that they made were mental mistakes.
Yeah, but I don't think that Jason Kidd would have been able to draw out whatever's wrong with LeBron. He has to go see the prophet at the top of the mountain. He got to go see the doctor. He whatever it is, it can't be solved on the court. So I don't think having Jason Kidd, though he's still great. And he demonstrated that he's got a lot in the tank still at 38. He's still not going to give you 20 to 25 a game.
Well, it's not about
that.
It's not about scoring.
It's
his leadership.
Tell me this. You think Mario Chalmers was going to pull them dudes to the side in a huddle at midcourt and say, look, we got to stop trying to dribble through the zone. Pass the ball through. Do you think Mario Chalmers said that? Mario Chalmers just said, look, man, I'm just shoot when I'm open.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, while we're talking about that, I just want to give a shout-out to Eddie House, because Eddie House comes in the game. He ain't played in Lord knows when, and he just starts to pick the rock up. He don't believe in warming up. He don't believe in, like, you know, feeling the flow of the game. My man automatically just starts putting the rock up from everywhere.
You know why that is, Jimmy? Because in Eddie House's mind, he has never left that game at Arizona where he scored 60.
Arizona State, yeah.
Yeah. He never left that game.
He's a gun and crumb.
The rock is going up. You don't got to worry about
that. So Naeem brought this up when he made his call, the comments LeBron made after the game. Now, of course, a few days later, he made a retraction. So I'll read the comments real quick because we didn't get that sound bite. But when asked about his haters, he said, quote, all the people that were rooting on me to fail, at the end of the day, they have to wake up tomorrow and have the same life they had before they woke up. They have the same personal problems they had today. I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But they got to get back to the real world at some point. Now, a lot of people took these comments as LeBron getting his Dave Chappelle on. Like, I'm rich, biatch, and, you know, your life sucks compared to mine, so get over it. Did you guys take it that way? Kill, did you take it that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because you could tell that he was really bothered by all the attention and the fact that he failed and, like, all those people that hating on, you know, rooting on me to fail and, you know, of course he was looking down on the common man, so kind of messed up.
I kind of think there were, like, a few words that he could have changed in that quote where it may have been interpreted in a totally different way. But, yeah, I kind of think that's how he was feeling at the moment as well. Jimmy,
yeah,
what did you
personally
think?
Personally, I was laughing. I felt like Cameron on Bill O'Reilly. I was putting the TV like, you mad? He was salty. Yeah, I was laughing because it just showed how salty he was. Like, come on, cuz. Like, and the thing about it is, it's like Naeem said, you have to think before you speak. You're LeBron. Yo, your tweets make the news. So how can you say, like, he needs better representation, man. Shout out to my homie Maverick Carter, but, yo, somebody need to get in LeBron's ear and tell him just shut up. Like, yo, if you just shut up, you'll be cool. Just play ball. Shut up.
Well, that's going to be difficult because everybody that we spoke to today wants to give LeBron the age excuse for the way he played and for the way he acts. But if all of his handlers are his age or younger, then what the hell do we expect? Like, who's going to help
him? In our chat room, they said there's more proof. It's more proof that he doesn't have heart. Monty said it's more proof that he has no heart because he retracted the statement.
Right, and I was about to read the retraction, but I think Austin want to say something. Say real quick, get that off, and then I'll read the retraction.
Yo, I think it goes back even before he was at the podium. Do y'all brothers realize that he yet again left the court without shaking hands with the
opponent?
That's
not true. Some other cameras got him, and he gave that to
He came back. He came back and gave that.
He gave dap to the dudes that were in his path of leaving, but he gave some dap. I saw him hug up Jason Terry. So I saw that.
To be honest,
he pushed Jason
it looked like
away.
He was about to walk off. It looked like he was about to walk off and thought about all the, you know.
Yeah.
Like
he was definitely about to walk off. You're right. It was in his mind, like, I can't do this again. You know, I can't give the sore loser look. But he did. Like, you know, they got 60 million camera angles, and they actually showed him do that.
Didn't he push Jason Kidd away? That's what I saw.
No, that was Berea when he was trying to post him up. But yo,
but it was like, how can you not dap up Terry? That's why I saw him dap up. How can you not dap up Terry after game one?
Yeah, let's talk about
how you locked him up.
Let's talk about Jason Kidd.
Hold on. I got to read the retraction. But at first, I was like, how you gonna diss him when you supposedly locked him up in game one? And he said to the media, let's see how he can do that over a 7-game series. And Jason Terry kind of
talked trash. He talked trash when he stunk it up and then went out and backed it up. But yo,
Here's the retraction. What?
They said that LeBron should know how to speak to the media. He's been famous since middle schools.
That is crazy. And as we're talking about this, I keep seeing them flash on the monitor of Chris Bosh walking down the hallway crying. You know he got clowned for that, but what I told people, like, hey, at least it looked like he cared.
My thing with Bosh, did you see the way he was on his knees crying? Like, that just
his knees, like, wiggle. Yo, that's Juwanna, man. Like, yo, I've never seen a male do that before where their knees wiggle like that. Like, what is wrong with you?
Because he knew. He had the most to lose by teaming up with these dudes. He basically lost superstardom by teaming up with these dudes. Like, everybody forgot what Chris Bosh was before he teamed up with these dudes. Now he's just the third dude. So he probably broke down. Like, man, I gave up my whole rep to play with these dudes, and I just knew we were going to win. But here's the retraction. LeBron said on Tuesday, it was interpreted different than what I wanted. Everyone has to move on with their lives, and I do too. He wasn't saying I'm better or superior than anyone else. I would never look at myself as bigger than the people who watch our game. He stayed with the our game thing too.
Coward.
You got to do in sports these days. I don't understand why they put themselves in a position where you always have to make a retraction a day or two later in the first place. But you know, LeBron has too much to lose, so he had to do it.
I was going to say, with the funny thing about it with his first statement, the way he set it up when he was like, yeah, people got to go back and wake up to their same problems. And so why they got to have problems? Like, you don't have problems, then you got to say, I'm going to keep living my life as if your life was great. Like, if he would have said something like, well, I got to wake up to my same problem, they got to wake up to their same problems, or I'm going to live my life, they can live their life. So he just made it seem like because nobody has the money or or cake that he has that they just everybody got problems and he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yo, that cake don't change from wearing that whack blue suit he had on. But yo, the Broad Street line said Chris Bosh went down like Glass Joe on Mike Tyson's punch out.
No, like, what was the other dude? Was it another dude that was like
Don
like,
Flamenco?
Yeah, Don Flamenco. Yeah, I think he went down like him, Flamingo.
Shout out to my man Piston Honda.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was the game. All right, so look.
Yo,
talk
about the Jet, man. Yo, the Jet ball.
Okay.
Go ahead. Keep it rolling, buddy.
Alright, listen. Oh, first of all, with the whole, you know, LeBron was getting killed on the net all week. Does anybody feel sorry for him, or is it that I mean, did y'all think he set himself up for this kind of treatment?
I mean, he did set himself up, but at the end of the day, like, you know, I hate the term hater because it's overused, but yo, dude
right.
does have haters because
yeah.
people was
no,
talking
you,
about
hey,
his
hey,
kids yeah. and his family.
You
and,
know you're a hater if you take time out of your day to get your graphic game up and put LeBron in all types of pictures. I laughed at the pictures, but at the same time, it's like, you know, okay, what noodle had time to sit down and do this? Like, they were funny pictures, but come on, man.
Yo, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Cause, I mean, you know, I've been following sports since the day I was born, but I've never seen a player get this much hate. Like, I didn't feel sorry for him because at the end of the day, he
you know
brought
what,
all this attention on himself.
I don't doubt it was there prior to LeBron. It's just that we didn't have the social network craze. You know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Facebook,
that's a great
Twitter. Now everybody, every Joe sitting on the couch can express what he wants to express. So I think it was there, but usually they just curse at you in their
yo,
own house.
Nobody went at Ray Allen like this last year when the Celtics lost. I mean, like, yo.
Except for us.
I think all of it was it's sort of like, you know, the whole NWO thing they had going on when the season started, when they had their little parade and everything, you know, their pep rally, so to speak. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
That was the July championship, Jimmy.
That was the Hollywood. Yo, LeBron James is Hollywood Hogan. That's exactly what he is. But go ahead, though.
Look, man, before we run out of time, because we only got a few minutes left, man, let's talk a little bit more about the champs, man. We talked about the game and how they handle business on the court. Let's talk about what happened after the game, you know, after they won the championship. Now, you heard Mark Cuban, we already talked about them partying. Yeah, he was partying like, man, he was partying like a, more than a rock star, bro. He a billionaire. He party like he wants to party. Their bill at a club that they were at in Miami was like $110. This was their $110,000 was their bar tab. And they said $90,000 of it was spent on one bottle of champagne. I don't know exactly. I didn't get what they were drinking, but it must have had, like, you know, diamonds in the bottle and stuff like that. $90,000?
Yeah, what
how much it cost? And how many of those dudes got off on that one bottle? Probably only 3-4 people probably got a sip.
Well, obviously, Deshaun Stevens got off a little bit too much.
Soldier Boy, tell him.
Did Deshaun Stevenson tell him?
and on top of the bar tab that he paid for everybody, he footed the bill for the parade today. And, Kill, what was the traffic down there like for the parade today? I heard a quarter million people, maybe?
Yeah, about 250,000 people. They had people all around the AAC and the area. And then they had people, the season ticket holders, they let them inside with their seats inside the arena with the mask came in there. You had all the radio stations. I mean, it was crazy, man. It was, and they were real happy. They wanted to get Brian Cardinal to dance like Mark Madsen, and he was like, nah, I'm cool.
Hey, still, the parade route didn't go past the book depository, did it?
That, I don't know. I don't know the exact route, but I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I know.
Like, I hope Hope Mark Cuban ain't riding in a drop top. But
I know, right? That'd have been crazy. That'd have been crazy.
Yo.
All right, so we posted this question on our Facebook page the other day because you guys know Mark Cuban said he thinks rings are old school, so he wants to do something a little different. Since the days have gone on, I really don't think the actual players, I don't think it's flying with them. So my thought is he's probably going to have to get the rings because everybody wants that symbolism. But what do you guys think that he may have been talking about? Because he's thinking outside the box and he wants to give them something different. And I've heard a lot of things. Kill, what do you think he was talking about?
But, repeat that. Say that again.
What do you think Mark Cuban was talking about when he said he didn't want to give out rings? He wanted to give out something.
Yeah, that was, I think that's, I mean, he plays for the Mavericks. I mean, he's the owner of the Mavericks, and a Maverick is somebody that goes against the grain, and he's always going against the grain. So I think it's him thinking way too much. Like, he's just thinking, okay, what can I do to really leave my imprint on this? Because in 2014, nobody may not remember, so what can I do to change? So where, and then I think the players, I know the players and Rick Carlisle, and even Donnie Nelson is kind of like, they were kind of like, yo, don't listen to what Mark's saying. We're going to get our rings. So I think it's just Mark just getting caught up in his own processing speed of his brain and what he could do.
Man, I heard people say bracelets, watches. Yeah, I heard championship belts. I heard, just to kind of poke fun at LeBron, everybody might get their own individual iced out crown.
I heard that. I heard that too.
I don't know, man, but shout out to the Mavericks for a good job. What do you guys think about the Sean Stevenson shirt that he partied with in Miami and then wore on the plane the next day?
Yo,
front
I
and back of the shirt.
Philly.
Yeah, front and back of the shirt said LeBron, how's my Dirk taste?
Yo, the sad thing about what LeBron has done to himself, the sad thing is now he's got to take it from people like Soldier Boy Tellem. Like,
yeah,
what can you say back to an idiot now that has Abraham Lincoln tattooed on his throat? Nothing. Because he lost to him. Because he lost to him.
Yo,
that's where Mike and Kobe would separate themselves, because no matter what, even if they lose, they're not going out in a manner in which they give up their manhood to Deshaun Stevenson.
Yeah, it's not like he was just on the team. He contributed. You know, Deshaun did his thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Remember, this reminded me of a situation Mike faced when he came back the third time, and he wasn't Mike, but Ricky Davis ran his mouth, and Mike was like, y'all must have forgot, and gave him 41. That's one of those situations. Like, that's what LeBron has to do to Deshaun Stevenson.
Yo, real quick, just to keep it consistent in our chat room, Monty said that the Mavericks are going to get diamond-studded hairlines.
Oh, God.
Diamond-studded hairline.
All right, so look, man, can the Mavs repeat? Last thing before we go. Can the Mavs repeat, Jimmy?
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's a one-and-done thing. It was a good story, and I give them – you know, a shot. Yeah, that's what they're going to be, the Pistons.
We've been here before.
Yeah, every playoff series, they're going to say we've been here before, like they won two or three of them.
And last shout out, Dev, give a shout out to Brian Cardinal for coming in the game and like just hacking everybody.
Yeah. Yo, even Brian Cardinal was a part of the photos of LeBron. Somebody had a split screen photo of Brian Cardinal with a one next to it. Well said, championships. Brian Cardinal won, LeBron James 0.
Yo, he contributed, though. He came off the bench and was straight just hacking cats. Yo,
and
nobody knows what
LeBron was
feeling.
And he knocked down some threes.
Yeah, so Austin and Bayon. Austin and Doc Bay. Can the Mavs repeat? Because remember, they're going to have Caron Butler come back next year. You know, Grinch Du, Roddy Boubois might get some more minutes.
Positively, absolutely not.
No. Kill?
I say no.
All right, well, Jimmy, that's your answer. Do your thing, dog.
Yes, sir. Thanks, everybody, for joining us once again in the War Room this evening. We enjoyed talking to you again, so we hope you enjoy listening. Thanks to all the callers, Facebookers, tweeters, and chatters for chiming in on tonight's topics. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another great episode of your favorite show. We'll be analyzing the NBA draft with War Room sports writer Brandon Pemberton, while giving you live coverage of the first round. As always, we'll catch you up on the hottest stories from the week of sports. So tune in next week and every week.
Oh, yeah.
We out.
I'm with this. I'm just going to sit here laid back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics. It's 88. Time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half-stepping. Word. I'm ready. Rapper stepping to me. They want to get some. But I'm the cane, so yo, you know the outcome. Another victory. They can't get with me. So pick a BC day, because you're history. I'm the authentic poet to get lyrical. For you to beat me, it's going to take a miracle. And stepping to me. Yo, that's the wrong move. So what you on, huh? Dope a dog food. Competition. I just devour. Like a pit bull against a chihuahua. When it comes to being dope, hot damn, I got it good. Now let me tell you who I am. The B-I-G-G-A-D-D-Y-K-A-N-E. Dramatic, Asiatic, not like many. I'm different, so don't compare me to another. Cause they can't hang, word to the mother. At least not with the principle in this pedigree. So when I roll on your rappers, you better be ready to die because you're petty. You're just a butter knife, I'm a machete. The slave I get to wait until when you try to punch so I can chop into your body. Just because you try to be basin, Friday the 13th, I'ma play Jason. No type of joke, that game, puzzle, or riddle. The name is Big Daddy, yes, big, not little, so define it. Here's your walking papers, sign it, and take a walk. As the cane starts to talk, cause my field in court, then again on second thought. The half of these coming out sounding so similar. It's like a fusing for you to remember the originator. And boy, do I hate a perpetrator. But I'm much greater. The best, oh yes, I guess, suggest the best. Your best or mess or test your highness. Unless you just address with best finesse and bless the paragraph. I manifest, rap prime minister. Some say sinister. Non-stopping the groove until winning. The climax, the climax, relax and chill. Have a break from a take of me acting ill. Brain cells are lit, ideas start to hit. Next to formation of words that fit. At the table I sit, making it legit. And when my pen hits the paper, aw, shit. I stop and stand strong over MCs and devour with the power of Hercules or Samson. But I go further to left, cause you can scout my cameo and I still have stress. And no, that's not a myth, and if you try to rip or get whipped, the man with the given gift of gab, your vocab, I only ignore. Be sleeping on your rhymes till I start to snore. You can't awake me or even make me fear your son, cause you can't do me none. So think about it if you're trying to go. When you wanna step through me, I think you should know that.